Right. Thank you. You can be seated. My job to share a few words tonight in our concluding time. I was just asking Jeremy when Gordy walked by. I said, well, what is kinesiology anyway? And so we had a little debate up here what that is. So you help him understand that. All right. When we get done. Amen. Then come by and help me understand it. That'll be great. Amen. Thank you. Hey, proud of this group and grateful to God for them. And I want to share a few words out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When we come to the Word of God, the most important truth in all of Scripture is the resurrection of Christ. If Jesus is not raised, then all we do is in vain. But when we read 1 Corinthians 15, the first 57 verses are all about resurrection, 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 resurrection. The gospel has an empty tomb. And because of that empty tomb, Paul then adds this postscript in verse number 58 when he says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Graduates, I want to take one verse, boil it down to one word, and I want you to grab this one word. And so if somebody ever asks you or after this service night, well, what did Pastor talk about at the senior deal? Then I want you to share this word with them. Just one word I want to lift right out of this text. Because of the resurrection, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast. And I want to take that word and call it persistent. Be persistent. And with that, I want you to learn to persist. Persist, persist, persist. Never give up. Great achievers persist. And that's without exception. Anybody that achieves anywhere always is persistent. Now, for me, if we were having it, my class reunion would be class number 40 this year. I'm a 1972 graduate. Any other 72 graduates here? Three or four of us? Five? Yeah. Our 40th anniversary. We would have an anniversary, except our class president's in prison. True story. We had a 35th. He was in jail then. And myself and two other guys got together and called the meeting, and we had a pretty good group and got together and had a good time. We did. Didn't we, Liz? Liz went with me. We had it in the gym, went to a basketball game, saw all those young people. It's a lot of fun. But nobody's called one this year, and I didn't do it. But for what I'm telling you, you can be the class president and have issues. If you don't persist, one foot in front of the other, you can have issues. Now, you're not in your graduation attire tonight. If you were, then we would know who all had the gold tassel and the beta club and all of those things, okay? I didn't have none of that. I got a black robe with a hat. I tell everybody I was in the half of the class that made the top half possible, okay? That's where I was. When I graduated from college, I had a college professor said this to me. He said, Traylor, you may make it. It's still up in the air, but you may make it. And he said, just for one reason, you do have some grit, and I think you can make it. And he said, son, never forget this. Our A students are going to come back at this college and teach for us. Our B students are going to teach all across America in middle schools and high schools, and they're going to send us great students. But people like you, C students, we're counting on you to build us a science building, all right? I'll never forget that. That's what he told me. He said, there's brilliance, and they teach, and but he said, there are going to be some folks that just persist. And they're going to make a boatload of money, and they're going to come back and build us a building one day. And you know, I've watched that through the years, and it's not always true, but it is pretty true. I mean, even Mark Zuckerberg that founded Facebook was a dropout in college. I mean, you know, he didn't do very well, but he's okay.
His stock's down a little bit, but, you know, other than that, he's going right through. But every one of these people that we find that become high achievers. Boy, we read all kinds of things coming across here. I saw nutritionists and athletes and sports medicine and U.S. Marshals, visions of the Navy and all of those things. It doesn't matter where you are. If you do not persist, you will not make it. Be ye steadfast. Christy, thank you for bringing it up. I didn't have to bring it up. She brought it up. She said that statisticians tell us that when we leave here, there's a high rate. The rate's at about 60%. That drop out of church. What did your class speaker tell you tonight? Connect with a local church. Get involved in a BCM. That's Baptist Campus Ministry. And that you grow in a Bible study. She said all those things. I'm not telling you that. She said that, all right? I'm just saying amen. That if you don't connect to persist, it's easy to waffle away. Now, those of you that are staying here with us, West Florida or State College, then we're going to stay after you, but still it's the transition. And we're going to try to, but we want you to persist. And so persist is what I want to talk about for just a few minutes tonight. And I want to illustrate persistence from six areas of study that you've studied all of these things, and I want you to see. First of all, we illustrate persistence from this book, from the Word of God. In the Bible, how many books in this book? 66, that's right. How many in the Old Testament? 39. How many in the New Testament? 27, that's it, you got it, amen. There's 39 in the Old Testament. I want to pick a persistent person out of the Old Testament. We find him, his name is Moses. 40 years, nobody hears of him. Another 40 years on the backside of the desert. Another 40 years in his life. He goes up the mountain, he gets the stone tablets. He comes down, he throws them down, he breaks them, goes back up, gets another set. I'm telling you, Moses was persistent. Year after year after year, dragging those carnal Baptists through the wilderness. He was persistent. Moses. You go to the New Testament, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. No one was more persistent than Jesus the afternoon he died for you and died for me. He hung on the cross, took your sin, became sin for it. And persistence kept him at the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you. And for me, by his stripes you are healed and saved spiritually in your life. So out of the Word of God, we find persistence from Moses and from Jesus. Then secondly, I want you to see it from nature with me. From nature. Persistence is found in nature. Everywhere you go, you hear me preach from week to week. You've heard me talk about the beaver. He's very persistent at my house. We've got new woodpeckers at our house, and I love them. I've been called a red-headed woodpecker all my life. I didn't know why, really, until I had these woodpeckers. They're red-headed, and they're red from here all the way back. The female is just red on her neck in the back. She's a redneck, and she has it on the bottom. But the male is red all the way back, and we watched them this year, and the little ones came with them. But I want to show you the most persistent person in all of nature that I know about, and it's the male penguin. The male penguin. The female gives the egg, and when she has the egg, she then gives it to the male. And the male takes that egg and puts it on his feet. You see him there with it. He's got it. And that's the reason that they eat all those fish, and they have the blubber and the fat. And they let that fat hang down over that egg because it's the Arctic. The egg will freeze if that male does not stay with it. Scientists have found thousands of penguins frozen to death, all the males standing because the snow got so deep they would not leave the egg. Most of the time it hatches and it comes forth, but they found them fields of frozen penguins staying, their beaks up, trying to breathe through the snow, but finally suffocating to death, but they would not leave their post. Persistence. Say, Pastor, why do they put the egg on their feet. It's because when it hatches, they then kick it out of the nest. And that's what your parents are doing to you tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Persistence. We find it in Moses. We find it in Jesus. We find it in nature, in the male penguin. We find it in business. You grew up in the Apple era. How many of you students down here have an iPhone? Yeah. They're all over. How many of you got an iPhone tonight in this place? How many of you have it on and are texting someone right now? Some of you are Googling male penguin right now to see if I'm telling the truth. Do you know preachers have to be very careful these days? And if you're a public speaker, be very careful, because somebody's sitting there with an iPad or an iPhone, and as soon as you say something, they'll Google what you've said, and they'll walk right up to you and say, that's a lie. I've misspoken before, and people come and say, that's not right. Here's what it said. Wikipedia says. Well, who made them God? But I mean, anyway, they're there, and they'll check you out. Steve Jobs. Did you know Steve Jobs was fired from Apple? He was. They let him go, and for years he was away. We know he's dead now, but he came back. And when he came back to Apple, he revolutionized Apple, and thus we have all the phones, the iPads, the ones, the twos, the threes, the fours, and so forth as we go. What happened? He said, we're going to change this, and we're going to change it for the better, and we're going to bring it down to simplicity. We're going to get rid of all this other stuff. How did he get that done? Persistence. Persistence. We see it from Scripture, see it from nature, see it from business. We see it in education. One of the high schools in our area is called Washington High School. Now listen, I don't think we have anybody coming through Washington here tonight. Do we have one? None, but we're here. Booker T. Washington, that high school's named for. What persistence. This man who came out of slavery. He started the Atlanta Compromise years ago. Everybody hated him. The whites hated him because he was black. And many black people hated him because he was working with the white people. And they asked him, and he wrote in his biography, Up From Slavery, Washington said this, the key to getting it done, everything he did. This school's all over America named for this man. Go slow. That was his watchword. Go slow. Persistence. Persistence. Persist. 1 foot in front of the other. 1 foot in front of the other. 1 foot in front. Persistent. 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 That's what made Washington what he was. And his Tuskegee, well, you know it as the Institute, but it became known as the Tuskegee Machine because he took all of those people and moved them forward. How did he do that? He did it by persisting, persisting. All of you gentlemen that are in this class, I want you to break the mold. I want you to, if you are a regular guy and a statistic, then statistics tell us when you graduate from high school, one out of every 10 men will read a book all the way through. 9 out of 10 after high school graduation will never read another book from beginning to the end. 90% of males never read another book from cover to cover after they graduate from high school. I know that from the research of my good friend who is the president of the Orlando Magic, Pat Williams. He's on a quest to get men to read. If you're not going to read anything else, I'd encourage you to read Booker T. Washington's biography, his autobiography, which is Up From Slavery, and he'll teach you, go slow, but go, 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 go. Persistence. We're in the Old Testament. We find it in the New Testament. We find it in nature. We find it in business. We find it in education. We find it in athletics. Oh, in athletics. We find it everywhere. You hear me from time to time. I love athletics, and I follow teams, and I'm involved, and I've always played, and I've enjoyed that. And 40 years ago, everybody asked me down here to come play basketball. I don't ever play basketball in our gym anymore. My feet won't go where my head tells me, so I can't do that anymore. I get aggravated and frustrated. Because I can't keep up. But he graduated from the University of Alabama, and he was drafted in the 17th round of the NFL. 17. They don't have 17 rounds anymore. He was drafted in the 17th round. I mean, that is way down there. He signed a huge contract, $6,500. Guys make that in an hour now. Bart Starr was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the 17th round. In the first team picture, they put number 42 on him. Quarterbacks don't wear 42. And they didn't expect him to make it, but he just stayed in there, and he stayed in there, and he stayed in there. And for 3 years, he never played a down. They got a new coach by the name of Vince Lombardi. Lombardi came in. He liked this kid named Starr, made him his quarterback, and the rest is history. 4 NFL championships, 2 Super Bowls, and named the 1970s player, the player of the decade in the 1970s. How did Bart Starr do that? From the time he finished high school till he went to his first, or finally finished college, till he went to his first NFL workout, he had an old tire in the backyard, and he threw, and he threw, and he threw, and he threw. He said thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. I'll never forget what Liz asked Travis Fryman, one of our deacons here, played with the Indians and played with the Tigers, sits up here when he's in town in our second service, and Trav, who's off somewhere coaching in the Indians organization tonight, she asked him, said, Travis, at our dinner table one night, how'd you make it in the majors? He said, I caught 500 ground balls every day, rain, sleet. It didn't matter. I caught 500, and then I took a bat and I hit 500 times every day of my life until my hands bled. That's called persistence. Persistence. And if you do not persist, you'll drop out of church. If you don't persist, you'll just get run over. But if you persist, you can greatly achieve. We see it in the Old Testament, New Testament, nature, business, education, sports, and lastly, we see it in politics. Politics. He's our grand old leader from England. 1941, during World War II, Churchill was a prime minister. He went back to the Harris School where he'd graduated. As a little boy, he didn't do very well in school, but he sat on a platform and he had his cane. He always had. They called on him to come speak, and he came up to the podium, and tradition says he hung his cane right here, and then he said these words, never, 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 never give up. Took his cane and went back and sat down. That's great tradition. It's just not true. He did walk and put his cane here, but he had much more to say that night. He had about an 8-minute speech. You can find it online. If you don't believe me, just Google it right now while I'm talking. It's called the Harrow Speech, H-A-R-R-O-W. It's a great talk if you ever have to give one. You can take pieces from it. And the middle of that speech, Churchill did say this to those boys at that boys' school, never, 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 never give in, not give up, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Students, never, 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 never give in except to things of honor and good sense. Persist. Stay by the stuff. What's it take to persist? Here's a list I've made. You must accept responsibility. You must seek wisdom. You must take action. You must have a decided heart. And you must learn to forgive others. I shared this 3 weeks ago, but you weren't listening, so I'm going to share it again. I was just down the road going in a restaurant all by myself. I couldn't find any other buddy around here to go eat with me. That's a miracle in itself that you can't find two people who want to eat at a Baptist church. But nobody would go, and I went by myself, and I slid into my table, and Shannon was waiting my table, and she was mad at the world. Upset deluxe. What do you want to drink? You know what you want? Can I help you? And I thought, I'm paying you. She didn't change. Went through the meal, and God spoke to my heart about trying to help her, and I didn't want to. And she didn't like me, and I didn't like her. And that day, I'd posted on my Facebook page this question: what do you really want out of life? I had 96 responses in about an hour, and people had given me everything all over the map. What do you really want out of life? And they gave. So when I got ready to leave, as I handed her my check, I said, Shannon, I'm doing a survey on my Facebook page, and I'm asking everybody I find this question, what do you really want out of life? She laughed. She said, well, I wouldn't know how to answer that question. Then she said, well, it would be rich, I guess. But then, in her right eye, I was looking, I remember, I think it's like it was yesterday, I saw a big tear. It never came down her face. I just saw it behind her eye. I saw her well up. And I remember in my heart, I said, God, I didn't come down here to see a woman cry. I don't need that. She's 27 years old. I don't, you know, I just want to eat. And she looked at me and she said these words, and they haunt me sometimes. She said, you know, life just did not turn out like it was supposed to. I said, how is it supposed to turn out? She said, you know, you go to high school, you graduate, you go to college, and you get a degree. Then you get out, and you get a job, and you get married, and you have 2.3 children, and, you just. I said, well, what happened to you? She said, well, I got out of high school. She's one of your graduates, Brother Frank, from the days you were at Pace High School. She said, I have two children. I'm not married. I'm about to get married, but they're not the father of my children. She says, you know, it just didn't turn out like it was supposed to. And he's in the Navy, and we're about to move and go around the world. And I've never left Pace, Florida. And my mother's scared, and I'm scared. And she said, it just didn't turn out like it was supposed to. But God spoke to my heart to give her out of my God pocket $100. And I didn't want to. Matter of fact, I didn't want to so much, I didn't do it. I did not persist. So I went out and got in my car. And I got ready to leave, and I drove up to Davis Highway to look both ways, and I heard the Spirit of God say, I said, what? And he said, you know what? You still got $100 in your pocket, now get yourself back in there. So I put the car in reverse and went back around. What I decided to do is do what I'm telling you tonight. I decided to persist and obey. So I dug the $100 out. I still have one. I got another $100 last week. Somebody gave me. I always get $100 and I stick it in here in my God pocket, and then I give it away, and somebody give me another one, and I give it away. I have people walk up to me and say, Pastor, can I have the money? You know, you don't get it because you ask. You get it because God says give it to you, all right? So don't ask for a graduation present after a while, all right? But I dug that out, and I put it in an envelope, and I went in, and I stuck it in, and I gave it to the girl, and I said, get this to Shannon if you know. Yeah, I know who she is. And so I was into the story. I just obeyed God. Till I told that story 2 or 3 weeks ago, and a young lady who sat right about halfway back, she came up after 11 o'clock, and she ran up. She said, Pastor, they're all talking about it. I said, what? She said, down at the place. She said, I work at that place. She said, I was coming on the shift after you left. You left at 1:30. I got there at 2:30. And it was just buzzing. I said, about what? She said, about you. They don't know who you are, but it was some guy that left Shannon this money. He said, you just don't know what it did for her because somebody reached out to her on a bad day. I don't take any credit for that. I didn't want to. God whipped me all the way down there. I don't get any credit. I was just being persistent. Now, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And if you don't do anything else, I want you to do this one word. It's coming up on the screen right now. I want all my seniors to say it with me. And that word is, where is it? It's persist. I know it's coming because I ordered it. Well, maybe it's not. Say it anyway. Say the word persist. There it is. Sharon's been working all day long. She started this morning at 6 o'clock, and she's done 2 worships this morning and 2 baccalaureates this afternoon, and she's putting up with me again tonight. Just say amen, Sharon, because she's been persistent. Now say that word with me one more time. Persist. Persist. That's what I want you to do. And for those of you that are in this congregation, I want you to persist. Don't ever give up. Don't ever back up. Never, 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 never give in.
Be persistent.
Why?
Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable. Maybe some of you are in this room tonight. You've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You came with one of these students, and you're part of a family, but you don't know Christ. Well, nothing would be more pleasing unto the Heavenly Father, and I guarantee you more pleasing to a graduate than see a father or mother come and say, you know, I believe I need to trust Christ tonight. I know Jesus died for me. I need to come and make my profession tonight, Pastor. I need to come and say, I'm all in with Christ. I've been waffling myself. It's time for me to come to renewal of persistence. In a moment, we're going to stand to sing. And when we stand to sing, I want to invite you to come unto Christ, unto confession, unto consistent persistence in your life. We're proud of you, graduates. We're going to be praying for you, pulling for you, sending you a Facebook hello every now and then. When I see you on there and doing something you shouldn't be, more. Check you out, all right? So persist. Stay by the stuff. We love you with all of our heart. Won't you give them another hand? Let them know that you care for them tonight. Amen and amen.